It's amazing that the Lord captures our hearts.
Amen. And Satan tries to.
We can get rid of the TVs. We can get rid of the computers. We can do all of those kind of things out of legalism.
Right.
The Apostle Paul said, as concerning the law, he was perfect. Not many of us can say that. That we were perfect before God saved us concerning all the letter of the law. But he realized that his heart was not right. And that's what we need, is the heart to be right with God. And then we know what the natural heart is. As Mike has correctly quoted the scripture, is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And the question is, but then who can know it? And nobody can. Another place the scripture says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So, but there is a heart that is given of God, which is past the very law of God. The principles of that law are written there. And they are the issues of our life. But it all begins with what? Thou shalt love
the Lord thy God.
The Lord thy God.
With all thy heart.
With all thy heart. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Same law, same principle, but a different heart. The commands, those Ten Commandments, when God comes in and changes our heart, gives us a new heart,
amen.
Those Ten Commandments are no longer commandments, they're promises. As the Lord said in Leviticus 19:2, ye shall be holy. Why? For the Lord thy God is holy. Born of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, then how can you be anything else but the offspring of God? And if you are the offspring of God, then the law that God established, again, way back there in the Garden of Eden. What law is that? Kind is going to bring forth what?
Common.
Like kind. Born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, then we will be holy. All right. Revelation chapter 1 beginning with. But the book of Revelation is the Word of God.
Amen.
And there are promises made. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But there are promises made there. And so it is important. But we're going to look at this begin here in the first three verses of the revelation. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass? And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, spirit of prophecy is what?
The spirit of Christ.
It's the spirit of Christ. So, the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Mm-hmm. So blessed is he that readeth. Here's the promise, right? Mm-hmm. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, first of all, this is a revelation. What is a revelation? But it's that which is made known, it's revealed, isn't it? But if it is being revealed, then it goes without saying that it has before been hidden. It is a mystery. It is that which has not been known at all, but now it is opened up. It is revealed unto us. And that's what God is doing here. It is the revelation. It's a revelation. But it's a revelation of a certain thing, isn't it? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we can take this again in two ways. First of all, it is the revelation that God has given to Jesus, which Jesus in turn gives to his church. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The other one is that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ himself concerning his purpose. In other words, we see the glory of God in what? In the face of Jesus Christ. If you're going to know God, you're going to have to know him through Jesus Christ, through the revelation Amen. Of who and what Jesus is. There's no other way.
John 14:6.
Yeah. I am the way, the truth, and
the life.
Life. But you know, again, Philip said, show us the Father that suffices us. Philip, have I been with you all this time and you've not seen the Father? Why, Lord, what do you mean? Well, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. Right? And so in John 17:3, love that verse. In this is
life eternal.
What is it?
Life eternal.
Life eternal. What is life eternal? That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the revelation which God gave to him. Seems strange, doesn't it? That God gave Jesus revelation. No, it isn't strange, because speaking here in this book of Christ as the Son of Man. I'll get over here further in this chapter, and we find that he says it in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, here again, one of those places where the revised version, the American Standard Version, it says, a son of man. This is not a son of man. This is the Son of Man. But we go on, we don't have time to stop and get all of this, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, and he gave it unto him for a purpose. God gives to you the revelation of Jesus Christ for a purpose. He didn't just give it to you so you can have it up here in your mind, in this brain, but he gave it to you for a purpose. And that purpose is that you might have life and have it more abundantly. To know him. And again, that is life. It is eternal life. It's more than just life. It is eternal. It's immortality, if you will. Mm-hmm. What we know of God in Christ Jesus is the beginning of that immortal life, the immortality to be forever in a state of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that a little bit this afternoon, but the Lord willing. But he gave it unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he said, and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now here's one of those places where, you know, there's been all kinds of arguments. We get down here in the 20th chapter, or 20th verse. It talks about the seven stars and the angels there. And there's always been, as long as I can remember at least, a debate. Well, who are the angels here that he's talking about? Is this the preachers? Or are this, that? There are always arguments about the Bible, isn't there? Always arguments. Over the most minutest things or the most significant things, there's always arguments over it. But, you know, the Bible is its own interpreter, isn't it? If we just have the Spirit to listen to what it says. Well, who are the angels? Who is this angel here? He's an angel. Do you understand that? I mean, it says it's redundant.
Yeah.
It's an angel. Well, who are the angels? What are the angels? Well, we go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are not they the angels? What are they? They're all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's who these are. And he clearly states it here in verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the churches. Now, from this point on, in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, we're shown seven churches, right? And every one of them, there is an angel that is given the word that they're sent to the churches. Every one of them. And then, all the way through this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, there are angels that are sent to John to show him all those things that God is setting forth in this book that's called the Revelation. But they're angels. Do you believe in angels? Now, I'm not talking about those little figures again of the mind, whereas they're floating around, and you know, the little wings on their backs and all of that nonsense that, goes on today. I'm not talking about people dying and, becoming angels. You're not an angel already. It ain't gonna do you any good to die, because you won't be any changed to an angel. We are the people of God, and angels are angels.
Yes.
So as we look at this, he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God. Now folks, that's what we're doing here today. We're bearing record of the word of God. I'm trusting that, and I believe this is true, I believe God has given me that mercy and grace, that I'm not speaking of myself. When I say that, I mean I'm not speaking out of my own mental greatness. I'm speaking simply the Word of God. That's what we do as the people of God, as the preachers of God. We speak the Word of God. We bear record of the Word of God. Brother Dale Burris is fond of, we know him very well around here, but he's always saying, I don't care what you think,
Christ.
And we understand that because we don't care what he thinks.
Right.
We care what God says. Because it's God's thoughts. But you know, Brother Bruce, that's another one of those amazing things. God didn't have to think in the terms that we generally use that.
Amen.
It wasn't an exercise that he had to bring forth. It always was.
Okay, I thought on that this morning, and I do often, because it's so simply profound. I mean, it's just beyond our ability to understand that.
Right.
And yet it's true. And that's why a lot of people struggle and become atheists, because they just can't experience it.
Yeah, they can't figure it all out, can they?
But it's so amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Right. It is. We bear record then of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. He was faithful in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
He bear record of it faithfully. And as God gives us the grace to do that, we do it every time. It doesn't matter who's here in this place, behind this pulpit. Whether it's me or JT or Brother Mike or Brother Bruce or Brother Jerry or whoever, if you're standing here behind this pulpit, we trust them that they're going to bear record faithfully of the Word of God. We've had quite a number of preachers come and preach from this spot right here. But the only way that they will be standing here is because we believe that they're faithful to the Word of God. In other words, we have heard them preach before, and we know that they have preached the truth of the Word of God, and they bear record of the Word of God. And so that's what this revelation of Jesus Christ is. Can the, if it is not true of Jesus Christ, can it be the revelation of Jesus Christ? No, it cannot be. The only revelation of Jesus Christ has to be the truth, because once again, Brother Bruce, He is the way, the truth, right?
Yes.
And the life. So, blessed. Not long ago, I tried to preach again a message on the true blessings of God. We talk about the blessings of God. If we don't have a cold, it's the blessings of God. If we have enough to eat, you know, it's the blessing of God. If we have an automobile to drive, it's the blessings of God. And go on and on and on, we go about the blessings of God. But find any of those things in the Scripture. What does God say is a blessing? Find that in the Scripture. Well, here's one of them. Here is the blessing of God, is to read this book, as well as all the rest, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? It's profitable. So here's the blessing, that readeth, that hear the words of what? This prophecy. So this is a prophecy. This book of the revelation of Jesus Christ is a prophecy. We don't have to wonder about what this is, do we? It's clearly stated. Now, it's amazing again how the people can twist the Scriptures, right? As Peter says, to their own destruction. But it's really simple here, isn't it? It is a prophecy. Now, the reason I say this is because that some people say, you know, well, this, you know, all this was already done, you know, it all was already over, and it maybe was all fulfilled in 40 A.D. or whatever.
Right.
But it is a prophecy that God gave to the church, and it has been going on. It is being fulfilled for nearly 2,000 years. Now, prophecy, the whole idea of prophecy is the fulfillment of it. But the prophecy, again, is the revelation of the mystery. Now, yes, it's got to be fulfilled. All things that concerning prophecy have to be fulfilled. Why do they have to be fulfilled? Why can't it just be prophesied of, and you know, well, the circumstances change. And so, well, that prophecy is no longer relevant. It's because the circumstances, first of all, do not change. Because God does not change. And in whom is neither variableness, right? Nor shadow of turning. And God is the one that tells the end from the beginning. But Jakey, how can you do that? Well, go ahead.
Has to know it from.
Yeah. But how does he decree it to be so? That's right. He knows it because he has decreed it to be so.
Amen.
And if God made one little mistake, then he wouldn't be God, would he?
That's right. Amen.
And he's outside of time.
Right. Again, Brother Bruce and I was talking about this morning. All these things that we see, how did God make them?
Out of nothing.
Out of nothing?
Mm-hmm.
He did not make them, at least, out of things which do appear.
Right.
But where did they come from? They didn't come from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They came from God.
Amen.
Everything that is, everything that has been, and everything that will be, was always of God.
Amen.
They were in God Himself.
Amazing.
And especially the Word.
Amen.
And by the way, the true Word is living.
Yes.
He was alive.
Yes.
And He is alive.
Yes.
And He will always be alive.
Yes.
Because that Word is Christ.
Yes.
The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things that were made, how were they made? By the Word of God. And nothing was made without Him. So it's so clear, isn't it? So, but blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, but the blessing doesn't end there. The blessing begins there. The blessing in its consummation is in the fact that they keep those things. And again, that word keep here does not mean that, well, you read it and memorize it and store it up in your mind. It means to be active in doing what is revealed concerning Jesus Christ. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein. And that's the way this book ends, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ends the same way it began. Chapter 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets did what?
Send his angel.
Send his angel. To do what, Jesse?
To show unto them.
Yeah, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Same thing, isn't it? Exactly. Says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Right? And of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. worship God. It's all intended for the worship of God.
Yeah.
Not worship of the angels. Again, all of this stuff that we hear today about angels is really blasphemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an affront to God. There are angels.
Sure.
But you know there are evil angels.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they call them. But they're angels.
Yeah, they are.
Fallen angels.
What?
Fallen angels.
Well,
I
don't know, when did they fall?
I don't know, you said they did.
They'd be better said when they were cast out.
Okay. They left their first estate, some of Scripture puts it.
But they're angels.
Yeah.
But they are opposed to God. They are antichrist.
Oh, absolutely.
I know that's hard for people, you know, because they've heard all of this nonsense all of their lives. They've been brought up under all of this foolishness. And so they are ignorant, but for the most part, they're really willfully ignorant. Because here's the word. So what is the revelation of Jesus Christ concerning all of this prophecy? What is it for? Well, it's for the redemption of God's people. And the eradication of sin.
He came to save his people from their sin.
But that's the way the book ends again, didn't it? In Revelation. And we could read a lot of scriptures in this very book to prove this. But in chapter 21, here's what John saw. In the end, I saw a new heaven. The way it started out, Bruce, wasn't it?
That's
it. In the beginning, God created what?
The heaven.
The heaven.
One heaven.
One heaven.
Most people say heavens.
Yes. Again, because that's what we've heard of. Instead of reading and proving out of the Word of God, we get caught up. I believe Mike, you were talking about getting caught up in all this stuff. But this sounds right, but it's not right. But I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I won't get into all of this today. It's too broad a subject. But, you know, and maybe I'll just quote my old Sovereign Grace pastor used to say, "Oh, don't take my city away from me." There is a city. Abraham looked for a city.
City.
His builder and maker is God. And that city is our mother. According to the Apostle Paul in Galatians, right? Chapter 4, I believe it is. Who is the mother, he said, of us all. But John saw, again, not a city, but the city. So he goes on, though, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them to be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? They're passed away." Another place he says, "And the former things shall not come into mind."
Right. No windows in heaven like they thought.
No. Not in that sense, there is none. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. When this book is complete, as far as worldly things are concerned, as far as this world is concerned, it'd be over. And then it's ushered in for us eternity. Now God has always been eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. But for us, you know, right now we're captives of time. You can't get away from time. That clock up there, that 1 o'clock, actually 2 minutes after 1 o'clock. Well, it's time. Time to bring this to a close. Then it'll be time to eat. And then it'll be time to start over again. And then that will come to an end because of time. This world began in time. God set what? The sun to rule the day. The moon to rule the night is all time. We're going to have to, well, let me back up. There was a time for us to all get here today. And there will be a time when we will have to part and go our separate ways. But the time is coming when there will be no such thing as time. done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. And the people here is a very, very, very important term. Overcoming. The promises are for them to come. But how do you overcome? By the faith, Mike, you're ready. I'll go. But the life that I now live, I live it by the faith, by my faith, no, by the faith of the Son of God. The only way that you will overcome is as God is faithful to you because of Jesus.
Come on, grace.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How are we accepted? There again, you know, oh, accept Jesus. How don't you accept Jesus? Accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what it is. It's how we are accepted by Him.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we accepted in Him? We're accepted in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Apostle Paul played that here. He said, no, I was found in Him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're found in.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us that are saved today, we were found of Him. And you were lost.
Amen.
I mean really lost. Because you were dead in your trespasses and sin.
Right.
But John found this. But we go on quickly. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So it is the redemption of his blood bought people and the eradication of sin. Now, one more time, just very briefly. It's amazing what the mind of man can imagine, especially concerning God. How in the world, in the first place, how in the world does anybody think that they can imagine God?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Word of God?
Right.
But Dorothy and I, Joel, have encountered in the past those that would have everybody to be saved.
That's right.
I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about just the Armenians, I'm talking about there have we known those people that have believed that ultimately all phase of people are saved in at least in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they want to be they want to be the bride of Christ, but then there are the others. You know? You understand what I'm saying? For instance, over here in chapter 22 again, in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. This is who they believe are the elite, if you will, of heaven. But then there's the others. Who are the others? Well, the others are those that are outside the city. They're just not in the city, but nevertheless, there's a sense which they're saved. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now how can you in your wildest imagination, how can you believe that these have any connection with eternal life or God or Christ? And yet there we have heard those people preach and declare that these people were saved, but they're just not the elite, if that those are my words. They're not in the city. But they even believe that Cain was saved. I was talking to one man one time, and he believed that Balaam was saved. And nothing like something could convince him otherwise. Don't twist the scripture. Here is a precious book with the promise of all they that keep these words. The overcomers. And there's not a greater thing that you're going to ever have to overcome than it is those that twist the scripture. This is the revelation.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. And he in turn gave it to his servants and signified it to John. And John recorded it faithfully. And when it is finished, prophecy of this book, especially the book of the Revelation, when it's finished, then we won't have to worry about it anymore. It'll all be eternal then, and it will be a tremendous blessing. We're going to end the services this morning with Psalm that's been a hymn that's been blessing me for many years. This actually came out of their old Lutheran hymn book. It's a
"We as Baptists Can Sing It."
"We as Baptists Can Sing It." I hope that we can sing it with all of our heart. And I hope we can sing it in truth. Every time I think of it, I try to find myself in it. I want to find myself in it. And the tune of it goes something like this. "Behold a host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains." And that approval follows it through. And so I will sing it, hopefully get the gist of it pretty quickly. And again, though, Ann and I were talking about the hymns and singing the hymns this morning. And I told her, I said, well, we make a joyful noise, Lord. But as we learn, we do sing a little better as we go along. But, the important thing is the word. Listen to the word. But, again, I try to lead you into it and sing it. Just sing. And I think you'll get it pretty quick. But, again, behold a host arrayed in white, like thousands snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand. Who is this band before the throne of light? Lo, these are they of glorious fame who from the great affliction came. And in the blood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and blame. Now gathered in the holy place, their voices they in worship raise. Their anthems swell where God doth dwell, mid angels' songs of praise. Despised and scorned they sojourn here, but now how glorious they appear. Those martyrs stand a priestly band, God's throne forever dear. So oft in troubled days gone by, in anguish, they would weep and sigh. And home above the God of love, for aid their tears shall dry. They now enjoy their Sabbath rest, the paschal banquet of the blessed. The Lamb, their Lord, the festal Lord himself, his host and guest. Then hail, ye mighty legions, yea, all hail, now saved and blessed forever. And praise the Lord, who with his word sustained you on the way. Ye did the joys of earth disdain, ye toiled and sowed in tears and pain. Farewell. Now bring your sheaves and sing salvation's glad refrain. Swing high your palms, lift up your song. Yea, make it myriad voices strong. Eternally shall praise to thee, God, and glad alone. Behold the host arrayed in white, like thousands snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand, who is this man before the throne of light? These are they of glorious fame, who from the great affliction came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and shame. Now gathered in the holy place, their voices they in worship praise. Their anthems swell where God doth dwell. Eternally shall praise to thee.